So I want to welcome everyone, those who will join us online and those who are present here in person today. I want to say this is the best place you could have been. Amen? There's no place like this place, near this place. This is the place. And you have made a right choice to be here today. And we're here to worship our true and living God. Yes, since the last time I was here, you know, I had my birthday. And I've become a big man now, you know. I'm a grown man. Amen, amen. Today I want to talk with you about a subject that I want all of you to have the experience. It's called the assurance of salvation. I want you to have that. Having the assurance of salvation. Now, if you're a well-informed disciple of Christ, you know that the Bible is God-breathed. It is God-inspired. It is God's book to humanity. Amen? No other book can legitimately claim that status. The Bible has no legitimate rival. So check it out before you make any decision. Yes, my friends, check out the Bible before you draw any conclusion. Its many promises are not only comforting and informative, but they also offer the teachable seeker the key for having the assurance of salvation. I go to our first text on screen today, is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God is the one who spoke through the prophets' writings in the Bible. Somebody should say amen. But when even that was too little heeded, God set out to make the clearest revelation possible. God would fold up himself into a little bundle of humanity and be born as a man. God folded up himself into a little bundle of humanity and would be born of a virgin woman. Her name was Mary. But it was so great a mystery that even when the prospect was made to Mary, she herself was stunned. When she came to herself, this is what happened. Scripture records it for us. Luke 1 and verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? God will answer our most baffling questions if we exercise faith, diligence, and patience and communicate regularly with him. God will answer yours as he did Mary's earnest request, so we can live as ones having the assurance of salvation. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, so that should also be chapter 1. In verse 35, it says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Son of God. I hope you are drawing for yourselves applicable truths from this text. Amen. Our greatest desire is to be the seeking of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to come upon you. Ask him to hide you under the shadow of the Almighty. Ask him to give you the rebirth of Christ in you so you can be Christ-like in everything you do. Amen. Ask him to do that for you right now. Doesn't take that long. Since we spoke, and since you are thinking right now, since you are thinking right now about the sentence I'm saying, it's already dialed into heaven. That's how quickly God works. He doesn't need internet signal to send anything on Facebook Live. God speaks and it happens. Amen. So I'm encouraging you right now to ask God to give you this experience. And it is true that tomorrow may be too late. Now is the time. Take time to develop a covenant-saving relationship with God right now. He already knows everything about us. He does. But we know precious little about him. Yes. Now, to develop meaningful relationship takes time. You know that, right? Marie, when Elias came seeking after you, did you give in right away? No? All right. You didn't give in right away. Sister Martha, when Brother Alvin came seeking after you, did you give in right away? How about you, Sister Sharon? When Jim came knocking your door, did you give in right away? Or you let him wait a little bit? Okay, she says, we were pretty much on the same page. But that's good. That's beautiful. Well, the first time I asked Risha, she said no. She did. Yes, and Arlene said, there you go. She gave you a thumbs up, you know. Yes, we know that building relationship, it takes time, right? And Joan, you know, your husband is passed away now, but did you let him in right away, or did he have to? You make him work for it?
No, I
right away. All right. Amen. Derek, one of these days, don't worry. The Lord's going to provide yours one of these days, Derek. Amen. And Luke, I see Luke is laughing. He know he had to work, Derek. He had to work, you know? Yes. And so building relationship, it takes time. It does. It does take time. And so I'm encouraging God's children here and everywhere today, waste no more time. Time spent with God, by the way, is time properly invested. Amen? Yes. And my encouragement to you today is to turn over the management of your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what we call a full and complete surrender. Turn the management of your life over to God. As soon as you do, you will be having the assurance of salvation. Amen. So the first point you can say, how can I have the assurance of salvation? Turn your life completely over to God. Give the management of your lives into the hand of God, and you will have the assurance of salvation. Now, there is only one problem in the whole wide world. Did you know that? Only one. It's the sin problem. It is called sin. The sin problem is as such that if you give even an inch of your life over to sin, sin will take a whole mile out of your life real quickly. Yes. But what the angel of God told Joseph is still good news for us today. What do you say? Amen. In Matthew chapter 1 verses 20 and 21, the angel said to Joseph, your wife will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, and I put the transliteration from the Greek there for you, Yesun, which literally means Savior, which we call later on Jesus, for he will save his people from. I want you to read that last statement, for he with me. Let's read together. For he will save his people from their sins. Man, you're not saying it like a meaning. How many of you had breakfast this morning? I am fasting, so I didn't have breakfast. I usually do on a Sabbath morning, you know. Why am I bringing this point? By the way, when we allow Jesus, and he came to be called Jesus in about the year 1524, because no J existed before 1524. But since 1524, we call him Jesus. You know that? For example, none of the apostles said the word Jesus. They didn't speak English anyway. Yes. But in about 1524, we began to call him Jesus, because J became a used letter. And so when we allow Jesus to reign in the citadel of our hearts and on the throne of our minds, we stand forgiven, we stand cleansed, and we stand victors over sin. Somebody should say amen. Yes. So what's the second thing we can do to have the assurance of salvation? Let Jesus reign over us. And Jesus heals us physically, mentally, spiritually. Let him reign over us and we'll be victors over sin. We are made more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior. It is then and only then that we can live out our lives as having the assurance of salvation. Now, there's a movement of presumption that looks very much like faith. It spurs on its adherents, requiring them, for example, to speak in the so-called unknown tongues. It has gone around much of the world speaking in fiery tongues, but does not meet the biblical criteria of having the assurance of salvation. This movement is usually very loud about being saved by grace, which is a true Bible tenet of having the assurance of salvation. And many people in the Evangelical Alliance, for example, believe this way. A common denominator to identify this group is that they all gather corporately for worship to God on Sunday instead of on God's prescribed Saturday Sabbath. And people will argue with you from all manner of angles to say why they don't keep the Sabbath. But God's prescription still today is to congregate for corporate worship on the Holy Sabbath Saturday and to keep it holy. He hasn't changed that. And God is always right the first time. Always is. But like the experience of King Solomon in the dream of 1 Kings 3 and verse 9, we should pray for understanding. Now, when I hear some Christians make their boast that they're saved by grace, my natural question is, what are you saved from? What are you saved from? And that question is clearly answered in Matthew 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We can never be saved in sin. Okay, one person got it. We can never be saved in sin. It is only the end time Babylon with its mystery of iniquity that offers that false security. But in the mystery of godliness, Christ himself works with us and in us to save us from sin. His whole mission to earth was to do that. And let me now share an early biblical Christian affirmation of faith that clearly illustrates what the mystery of God accomplishes. The following text is a statement that was regularly repeated by the followers of God in the early church, disciples of Christ, who were having the assurance of salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." They were telling the whole story in one sentence. Yes, herein lies the formula. It starts with the mystery of godliness. Heaven came so close to earth as God literally manifested himself in human flesh. Christ, the God-man, was made righteous by the Spirit himself. Christ was ministered to or seen by holy angels. Christ preached and continues to be preached about in the world. Many believed and exercised faith in him. And ultimately he went back to heaven. So once again, what are we saved from? Sin. Matthew 1, 21, the second half, B. He will save his people from their sins. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, as well as Romans 14, 23, gives us two definitions of what sin is. It gives us two definitions here. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, "Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. God saving us from sin, Christ saving us from sin, is saving us from transgression of the law. I wonder if you made that connection. In other words, the Christians are saying we are saved by grace. What are they saved from? We are saved from sin. What is sin? The transgression of God's law. So when we are saved from sin, we no longer transgress God's law. In other words, when we are saved by grace, we keep the Sabbath holy. When we are saved by grace, we don't commit adultery. When we are saved by grace, we don't steal or lie. We don't bear false witness. We don't covet. We don't have other gods before God. When we are saved by grace, we don't worship graven image. When we are saved by grace, we are saved from sin. We are saved to be in harmony with God's law. Whoso committed sin transgressed also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And while he was speaking about, you know, meat offered to idols in Romans 14, the point is still true. And he that doubteth is damned, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unbelief, faithlessness, and lawlessness go hand in hand. As a matter of fact, the end time Antichrist, another name for him in the Bible, is the lawless one. One who goes against God's law. And so unbelief, faithlessness, and lawlessness go hand in hand. Believing, exercising faith, and lawfulness go hand in hand. In which camp do you want to be now on judgment day and when Jesus Christ comes again? I know for me, I want to be fully on God's side now and forevermore. That is why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. It is the only church on earth whose entire teaching is consistent with the Bible. The SDA church uplifts Christ and takes the Bible as a whole. Sincerely practicing members have the assurance of salvation. Do you? The Seventh-day Adventist movement promotes the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers through the 8 laws that God has revealed to us. Did you know that Seventh-day Adventist members in the United States who follow the health message are, on average, the longest livers in the United States? Did you know that? There's only one blue zone. Well, there are only 5 blue zones in the world. There's only one in North America, and that is in Loma Linda, California. 99% Seventh-day Adventist. Longest livers in the United States. It is no coincidence to me, because I know that God knows what he is saying. Amen? And it is God who revealed the 8 laws of health that Weimar Institute called New Start. And everyone needs a new start. Amen? Nutrition for that N. Exercise for that E. Water for that W. Sunshine for that first S. Temperance for that T. Air for that A. Rest for that R, including the Sabbath rest that we're doing today. And trust in divine power for that T, new start. We should regularly do a checkup on ourselves and see how well we are doing where these 8 are concerned. By the way, these 8 are taken from the book Ministry of Healing. And it's in somewhere in the 140s, I think the page is where you'll find all 8 listed, just to let you know. They came from heaven. They came by inspiration. 8 laws of health. Now, contrary to the naysayers' negativity out there about Seventh-day Adventists, like saying we are works-based believers, we will be the foremost to tell you that we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his ongoing ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. We know that we are saved by Christ. We will also be the first to tell you that you cannot be saved by works, but you might just be lost without them. This means that when you have faith in Christ, when you believe in Christ, you will work the works of God. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, nothing availeth anything but faith which worketh by love. Faith works. Amen. When we are empowered by grace, we are put to work the works of God. Having the assurance of salvation does not come by chance. It comes by choice to follow God fully. Amen. So priestcraft and popery, evangelicalism and the presbytery, Pentecostalism and non-denominationalism are not the answers. They will not answer to our souls' most earnest longings. Humanistic religions are not the answers either. They may feel good, but faith and feeling are as far as the east is from the west. Having the assurance of salvation, some faith healers and their followers like to say, in the name of Jesus, we declare this and we declare that. Truly informed followers of God know that we do not make demands upon God. Somebody should say amen. Instead, with confidence, we make our humble request and in great reverence. Faith and presumption may look alike, but they are worlds apart. Faith accepts that we were made in the image of God. Presumption seeks to return the favor and make God in our own image. And Psalm 50 tells us that, you have made God altogether one like as yourself. It says that there. Friends, Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means you ought to be spending time regularly in the word of God. And we have been running a theme encouraging everyone to do 10-15. Minimum. 10 minutes of praying every day, 15 minutes studying the word of God. Minimum. Right now we should be way up on that list, well beyond 10-15. But it's a good place to start. Amen. It's always worth the start. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we do this, we can each one reach one for Christ in Vision 2021. This is the year. If this was your last year on earth, if this was humanity's last year on this earth before Christ comes, what would you do differently? How many more people you will bring to Christ and have them come hear the word of God that they can have faith in God? How more evangelistic would you be? How more intentional would you be in spreading the Advent message? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it means there are people in your circles who have no faith. They have never heard the word of God. And you are God's messenger to tell them. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, presumption demands that God does whatever we will. Faith takes God at his word and seeks only to do God's will. Presumption projects an air of arrogance with God doing our will. But faith projects us to do God's will. Amen. In Isaiah 32 and verse 17, the prophet says, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance for how long? I want to see a show of hands today. How many of you right here today have the assurance of salvation? I want to see your hands. All right, I see the hands that went up. There are some hands that did not go up. Let me see your hands if you don't have the assurance of salvation. This is where it gets fun. Nobody moves at those times, you know, Jim. They'll not say we have it, but they won't say we don't have it. So you're in between. No, there's no in between. Either you have it or you don't. The truth is, having the assurance of salvation doesn't make God save us when Jesus comes. Put it that way. Having the assurance of salvation is knowing that we're living out God's will here and now. And God's will is in His Word. Amen. It is those who continue to have the assurance of salvation all the way till when Christ comes that will ultimately be saved. But God gets to decide, and He tells us how to have the assurance of salvation. The work of righteousness will be peace. Doesn't matter how much COVID is around us, the work of righteousness is peace. I don't lose sleep over COVID. No, not even a minute. I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to use common sense. I'm going to use my precautions, but I'm not going to lose sleep over a pandemic. No. No. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness will be what? Quietness and assurance forever. We need to have a holy boldness in times like these. We need to accept Christ's righteousness in our lives. As a matter of fact, Christ is the Prince of Peace. And when His righteousness, when His work of righteousness is in us, there will be peace. There will be peace. And the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. God's children need to have the eternal joy here and now, day by day. One of the problems we have, we like to take tomorrow's problems and spend it today. Didn't Jesus say, sufficient unto the evil? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry, take no thought for tomorrow, what you may eat or drink or what you may put on. Take thought for today about how you stand with Jesus. Amen? The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 32:17. You want to know this text. Keep this text close to your heart. Yes, keep this text close to your heart. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Here's another one in Isaiah chapter 62 verse 1. For Zion's sake, for Elmira's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Elmira's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as the lamp that burns. Amen. We're to be God's lighthouse. Colossians chapter 2 verses 1 through to 3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Elmira, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance. There it is. The full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Full assurance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Much assurance. Hebrews 6 and verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Full assurance. Is God talking to you? I didn't come just wanting to sound intelligent or to. I want you to have God's assurance of salvation now. The Bible says we should have full assurance of hope until the very end. Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, that's the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary by faith. Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart. In what? Full assurance of faith. There it is again. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We don't have to wait till Jesus come to have this experience. God wants us to be washed now, to have a clear conscience now, to have full assurance now, all the way until the end. Full assurance. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Then it says in verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There are people who have not been back to this church since coronavirus lockdown. And it happens in other churches and across the conference and across this country and in many places. Sad thing is those same people go to work. They go to Walmart. They go to shop and buy grocery. And some of them even go do recreation. Some people even go on vacation elsewhere and everywhere. And yet they will not come to church. I want to say, there's a warning in Scripture that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. What should we do? Exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So think of the people that are missing, for example, today. Don't only wait for the pastor or the elder. Give these people a call. See where they are. The Bible says we are our brother's keeper, right? We are our sister's keepers. We are keepers to one another. And so what we should do? The previous text says, we in verse 24, we should stir up love and good works. Part of that is coming to church and fellowship with the believers. We can wear masks inside if we need to. We are staying safe, and we have been staying safe over at Elmira Church. And so everyone is welcome to come and stay safe with us and worship God. Amen. We are coming to the end. It's no time now to be wavering, as verse 23 tells us there. Let us not be wavering, but let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As I close today, I want each person here to be having the assurance of salvation. If it means that after we close, you need to sit in your pew and talk some more with God, then do that. But don't leave here today until you have the assurance of salvation. I don't know what is your experience. Everyone here, you have your own walk and relationship with God. But today I want to make an appeal to each one, including those who will see online as well, who will watch online. Have you made your calling and election sure? If not, why not? If not, what is holding you back? Christ gave his all for you. Really and truly, you and I have nothing to offer Christ. All that is in this world is sin, shame, and disgrace. And all we can take to Christ is our brokenness. There's no trading of anything. We simply go to him with our self-righteousness that is like filthy rags. And we accept Christ's own righteousness in our lives. How many of you today have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You've been baptized. Amen, amen. Do you remember how you felt when you were first baptized? How many of you have been baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, God's remnant church of Bible prophecy? Amen, amen. How many of you are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Amen. And if not, for those who will watch us online too, if not, why not? Seventh-day Adventist Church is God's true church of the end times. It's God's true church of Bible prophecy. The church that keep the commandments of God and of the faith of Jesus Christ. And if I've never said it before, if you've never heard it before, I want to tell you the safest church for you to hold your membership in Christ in is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because as I mentioned earlier in the message, every teaching of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is consistent with the Bible. You know why? Because we believe the whole Bible. And it's our goal to teach every truth of scriptures to our members and guests, anyone who come among us. Because the more we know of the scripture, the more we know of God's will. Amen. And God wants us to have the assurance of salvation now. We're going to pray. But before we pray, we're going to sing. And while we sing, I want you to think about the encouragement in those words. Hymn number 462, Blessed Assurance. We'll stand, we'll stretch our legs, we'll exercise the lungs, and we'll sing this song together. And then after which, we will pray. Here we go. Today I want to say to you, move beyond just enjoying a message, just hearing the songs, just hearing the scripture reading and testimonies, and returning a faithful tithe and offering. Move beyond that today. Before you leave this place today, talk with God once more. I mean on a personal level. And ask God, where do I stand with you? Am I really saved? Am I really safe to be saved for all eternity? Do I really have salvation? Do I really have the assurance of salvation? That is the most important question. They ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? Good master, what should I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep them. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And sin is the transgression of the law. So, there may be about another 5.5 hours left in the Sabbath. What will you do with them when you leave here today? What will you do with it? What have you done with the hours of the Sabbath since the sun was set yesterday? Do you keep the Sabbath day holy? What are you going to think about and talk about and do for the rest of the Sabbath afternoon? These are questions we ought to keep alive in our consciences and make sure that we are not only saying we're Sabbath keepers, but we actually live out Sabbath keeping. We are on the wind down to heaven. And only holy human beings can go to live in a holy heaven in the presence of the holy God and in the presence of all the holy angels. Holiness. Wholeness unto God. Complete surrender. Complete living. So my appeal to you today is, once again, surrender all to Christ. Spend time in God's word. Study the Bible. Pray over what you study. And ask God to move you to go tell others of the joy that you find in him. If any of us is experiencing the joy of salvation, we are not going to hide it. We're going to tell it to the world. Amen?
Amen.
I see people wear their logo for their football team. What is it? Super Bowl 55 just went. People were flying their colors proudly. We should fly our colors as Seventh-day Adventists, biblical Christians. We should fly our colors. And we should not hold back in telling it. Don't hide it. Tell it. Pleasing Christ pays. Amen? Let us pray together as we close today. Father and our God in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being called sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you for the privilege, Jesus, that you have called us out of the darkness of sin to live in the marvelous light of your gospel, eternal salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that you yourself died and paid the price for my sins, all of our sins, the sins of the entire world. Thank you that you have the victory and you're calling us to victory over sin. You're calling us to the full assurance of salvation here and now, having hope to the very end. Father, as you look at our lives today, we know that we are naturally unworthy. But we know that, Lord, you have called us, invited us to become partakers of the divine nature. Precious promise. And that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in you. The faith that you supplied in the first place. Help us to use it, Lord. As we go from this place, we want to go, first of all, forgiven. Want to go from this place cleansed. Want to go from this place healed. Want to go from this place washed, having a good conscience, being washed with pure water. Want to go from this place with the full assurance of salvation. And Father, may we begin to count from this point forward a life hid with Christ in God. Give us the peace that surpasses human understanding. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth like it is, as it is in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we live for you, Lord, like never before. Help us, Lord, to be evangelistic about our faith. Those are the books, Darkness Before Dawn. You have caused us to get them so each member can take them and distribute in their circles. Luke was giving his testimony that he single-handedly gave out 3.5 dozens to 4 dozens, Lord. You've been using him. You've pressed it on his heart. And as senior as he is in age, he decides to go out there and give them out. Lord, each of us here can do something. Help us to do something for you, Lord. And everything in our power to hasten the soon coming of Christ. Father, we look forward to when you come. And that each of us here, among the believers who are true of all ages, will begin to rise off of this earth to meet you in midair. And so shall we ever be with you. Lord, we look forward to be among that number that will go home to live with God forever when Jesus comes. Keep us there then, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.